In the past, most people seeking employment were looking mostly for big bucks, big wages, rather than the benefits offered by the company. The prestige of making a lot of money prevailed over and superseded the benefit package. I think many people are more perceptive in that they look to what benefits a company offers today in the right proportion in relationship to the salary. Some people would rather have more time off with pay than large salaries. When choices have to be made between the two, salary versus benefits, a person has to look at how much time off you get. Does it offer a medical plan? Some medical plans pay for doctor's appointments, time in the hospital, emergency care. What about a dental plan, which can be expensive if you don't have one? I don't have dental coverage, and it's really expensive for my dental work to be done. Does the company offer sick pay, for example, long-term disability, workers' compensation? Does it have a pension plan, a clothing and boot allowance? Does it have maternity leave for women and now for men at some companies? These are all things to consider when looking for employment. What about us as Christians and members of the begotten family of God? Do we have benefits for obeying God? Today I want to look at the benefits offered for true Christians. So the title of my sermon today is Benefits. Let's start in Psalm 103 and verses 1 and 2. In Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Notice, we are to bless God with all our being, with everything we have internally, with our whole heart. We are not to hold back. Verse 2 states we are not to forget all the benefits, indicating there are more than one, and not to forget them, and we are to bring them to remembrance. So my first point is Psalm 103, verse 3, the first benefit, who forgives all your iniquities. It's important to remember that God forgives all our sins. He does not just forgive a few of them and brings them up later. Let's have a look at Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, the first chapter. So you'd like to turn there. Isaiah 1. And we'll read verse 18. Isaiah 1:18. "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Our sins will be as white as snow. In other words, they will be forgiven. Over a few more chapters in Isaiah, Isaiah 43, if you'd like to turn there. Isaiah 43 and verse 25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Another scripture we can look at is found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the first chapter. And Ephesians 1 and verse 7 states, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace." Notice our sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ and the richness of his grace, which is unmerited pardon of our sins. Turn with me now to the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 18, we'll read verses 21 and 22. It says in verse 21, "But if a wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die." Verse 22, "None of your transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him, because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live." Notice again, none of our sins will be remembered once we repent of them. A little further in the book of Ezekiel, in the 33rd chapter, a few pages on in the book, we'll read verses 14 to 16 in Ezekiel 33. It says, "Again, when I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge and gives back what he has stolen and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die." And in verse 16, "None of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live." If we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness, our sins are forgiven and, most importantly, forgotten by God, in the sense that he does not hold them against us anymore. The second benefit, we'll have to go back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, for the second benefit, is found in verse 3. 103 verse 3 says, in that verse, "Who heals all our diseases." Notice God heals all our diseases. He just doesn't say when he will do it. What are the instructions regarding being sick? Let's have a look at the book of James in that regard. Over in the book of James, 5th chapter of James, and we'll look at verse 14. It states, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And verse 15, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Notice the connection between being healed and the forgiveness of sins. I've seen immediate reaction from God in regards to healing. Sometimes there is a time lapse, and other times a person just does not get healed. Although if and when a person dies, when resurrected, he will have a perfect spiritual body. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians in this regard. In the 1 Corinthians, We'll look at chapter 15. We'll read verses 42 to 44. 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. In essence, we will all be free of diseases and healed according to God's time frame. Some will have to wait till the resurrection, but it will be well worth the wait. A little further in 1 Corinthians, dropping down to verse 49. Verse 49 states, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Just as we are physical now and subject to sicknesses, later we will be spiritual, fully healed, and having a body that does not wear down, nor gets sick, nor gets tired, and does not need any sleep or rest." Let's have a look at Exodus, the 15th chapter. In Exodus 15, we'll read verses 26. Exodus 15, 26 says, "And God said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And over in the book of Malachi, if you'd like to turn there, the 4th chapter of Malachi states, "But to you who fear my name," this is verse 2, "but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow like fat, stall-fed calves." Notice the comparison to fatted, well-fed calves, free of disease and sickness. God is our healer. Let's always remember that fact. For the third benefit, we'll have to go back to Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, in verse 4, Psalm 103, 4 says, "Who redeems your life from destruction?" God protects his investment, and that's us. Please turn to Hebrews with me, the 13th chapter of Hebrews. In Hebrews 13, in verse 5, it states, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." We can take great comfort in that fact. Would you like to turn over to the book of Exodus? We'll read in the 6th chapter, Exodus 6. Exodus 6 and verse 6. It says, "Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstanding arm and with great judgments. And this certainly applies equally to us as begotten children. Please turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and 1 Chronicles in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 21. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for yourself a name by great and awesome deeds, by driving out nations from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt? And who are like God's begotten children who have been redeemed from Egypt? Or this world, because Egypt is similar to the world. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people. Does that sound familiar? Please turn to the First Peter, in the second chapter. And we'll read verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2 states, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have been redeemed from this evil world for a holy purpose in the world tomorrow as kings and priests. And if you turn to Revelation, the fifth chapter, that's outlined for us in Revelation 5 and verse 10. Revelation 5:10, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. The fourth benefit, if you'd like to turn back to Psalm 103, in verse 4, Psalm 103, verse 4, the fourth benefit states, who crowns us with loving kindness. Notice, God has a loving kindness towards us. Please turn over to the book of Psalms, the 25th chapter. We'll read about this. Psalm 25 and verse 6. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. And also in the book of Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, Isaiah 63, verse 7, Isaiah 63:7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them, according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Notice, it's according to the multitude of God's loving kindnesses. Over in the book of Jeremiah, read more about this, his loving kindnesses. Over in Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, Jeremiah 9 and verse 24. Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. Notice, God exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Turn with me over to the book of Hosea, the second chapter. We'll read verses 18 and 19 in Hosea 2 and verse 18. In that day, I will make a covenant with them, with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground, bow and sword of battle, I will shatter from the earth, to make them lie down safely. And in verse 19, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. We are crowned with loving kindness. Look at what Paul says in regards to a crown over in 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Paul states here, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We have both a crown of loving kindness and righteousness bestowed upon us by God. The fifth benefit, back in Psalm 104, also found in verse 4 of Psalm 103, and verse 4. It says, who crowns you with tender mercies. We are not just crowned with mercy, but tender mercy. Turn over with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 40, and we'll read verse 11. Psalm 40, verse 11, states, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Notice also, loving kindness referred to here. Also in this verse, a little further on in the book of Psalms, the 25th chapter, Psalm 25 and verse 6, Psalm 25, 6, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. And a little further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51, we'll read the first verse of Psalm 51. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Notice the multitude of God's tender mercies. And a little further on in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, Psalm 119 and verse 156. Psalm 119, verse 156. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Notice, great are God's tender mercies. The sixth benefit, found in Psalm 103, if you'd like to turn there again. In Psalm 103, this one is found in verse 5. Psalm 103 in verse 5 states, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God provides for our needs. If we are faithful in obeying him, look at the promises to Israel, which can be applied to the church today, found over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. In Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 1, states, Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Continuing on in verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Continuing on in verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And in verse 10, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain in your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And in verse 13 and 14, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, to be careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, nor go after other gods to serve them. Now the seventh benefit is not listed in Psalm 103, but I wanted to add it because it's such a wonderful benefit, and that is eternal life in the kingdom of God. So if you'd like to turn to Isaiah, the second chapter, and we'll read verses 2, Isaiah 2 and verse 2 says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And in verse 3, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The ways of God will be taught by the family of God ruling under Christ. And finally, over in Revelation 20, and we'll read verse 4 and verse 20. Revelation 20 and verse 4 states, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. There are many tangible benefits that God bestows upon us, and one of the most important one is ruling and serving under Christ in the millennium, which these days picture. At that time, There will be great rejoicing, and we will be involved in making the world a real, true, better place.